Yeah. I want to talk to you tonight real quick about the Jesus way. We're going to make this brief, so hold on tight. Buckle up your seatbelt. We're going to go fast tonight. But talking about the Jesus way, and the way Jesus does things is awesome. I believe that the Jesus way is the right way. There are many ways to do things in life, but you have the wrong way, and then you have the Jesus way. Okay? So if there are certain things that I like done a certain way. If somebody's doing it the wrong way, I say, hang on. Let's do this what I like to call the Jesus way and do it right. Amen? Now, Jesus mentioned the golden rule in Matthew 7:12. And I know some people say the golden rule is he who has the gold makes the rules. But that's not true. That's not true necessarily. Although the gold, the silver and gold is God, so I guess that would be true in that sense, because God makes the rules. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the Jesus way, okay? Now, this golden rule had been around before Jesus even. It's even in the Old Covenant. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When my brother and I were little, we'd be fighting or whatever. My brother would punch me, and I'd say, do unto others as they do unto you, and I'd punch him back. I'd say, wait a second, you misquoted that. Do unto others as they do unto you. No, do unto others as you would like for them to do unto you. What would you like done for you? You know, a lot of times people complain about their life because their life just stinks. And they don't like where they're at. They hate their job. They hate their house. They hate their family. Whatever they hate, they just hate life. And so I encourage people that are in that place, if there's something you don't like, ask yourself, what would make my life so much better? And then go out and do that for someone else. Because you reap what you sow. Okay? And if you're reaping a miserable life, it could be that you're sowing a miserable life for others. Okay? And so, do unto others as you would like done to you. What would you like, man? Would you like to get something good for Christmas? I know some people, they just sit there and pout. Nobody ever gives me anything for Christmas. Well, who are you giving stuff to for Christmas? What seed are you sowing? You know, Miss Wilda, she received a gift tonight, but she gives gifts, don't you? You sow those kind of seeds. You've given my kids money. You've given my children money. So you got money coming your way all over the place. I'm telling you. She's got all kinds of stuff coming her way. And Janice Jordan, you got more stuffed animals coming your way than you know what to do with, woman. Because you have sown the seeds. I tell you, we got some givers in this church. But I tell you what, you sow stuffed animals, there's no telling what you're liable to reap. Praise God. It may not come just like you sow seed. I mean, you sow a little piece of corn, it comes back a big old stalk, you know. So you sow a little bit, you're going to reap a lot. But the Jesus way is giving what you want to have and doing for others what you want done for you. You want attention? Give some attention to somebody that doesn't have it. You want opportunities? Give someone opportunities. Say, I want to give them an opportunity to be a blessing, because that's what I would like. How would I like for people to treat me? Well, that's how I want to treat those in authority over me. How do I want people that are maybe under my authority to treat me? Well, they'll treat me like I treat those that are over authority of me. You see what I'm saying? So if you're disrespectful to authority, if you hate authority or whatever, don't be surprised if people under your authority hate you and don't respect you. It's a principle. It's the golden rule. It's the Jesus way. So, this will help you in everyday life. And it's so simple. It's the basic gospel. It'll help you on the job. How you want your boss to treat you. Treat your fellow employees the same way. Watch what happens. And I want to live this way. I often think to myself, this is something that my dad taught me. I've told the story about when we got one vacation when I was a kid. We were going to Colorado, one big vacation. We all loaded up. We were going to Colorado. Dad rented a 15-passenger van because I've got 8 brothers and sisters. And we were going up there to Colorado, and we're just going to really have a great time. I'd never been there in the summertime, and when it's hot here in Texas, you're just like, man, this is going to be awesome. It's like heaven on earth, literally. And there's mountains, not like Eagle Mountain, but like real mountains. And so we get in this van, and we're taking off, and just outside of Amarillo, on our way, the transmission goes out on this thing. And we're stuck in like outside of Clarendon or somewhere like that in Texas in the heat. And here we are thinking, wait, what is up with this? We got the van towed into Amarillo. They said it's going to be, 4 days before your parts can come in. You're going to have to stay in the hotel for 4 days waiting for these parts to come in for your van to be fixed and all this. And this was a rental van, right? And so 4 days of our 1 week vacation were lost, and we were able to get 1 day up there in Colorado. And it's like going to heaven and then having to come back. That's how you know Isaiah Robertson ain't coming back, y'all. Because when you get there, you don't want to come back. You're like, what? 1 day here? This is like torture. And so when we went back to the rental guy, I'll never forget what my dad mentioned to the rental guy. The guy felt so bad. He said, I tell you what, I'm so sorry. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And this is what my dad said. He said, I just want you to do for me what you would want done if this happened to you and your family. The guy gulped. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll refund all your money. We'll pay for all your hotels, all your food, everything that you spent on your whole trip, and we'll cover it all. And Dad said, that's fair. And I was like, man, that's a good deal. Hey, I mean, yeah, we only got 1 day, but it was free. He paid for it all. And so I learned that from my dad. Do to others what you would like for them to do to you. And so many times I'm asking myself this question throughout my daily life. For instance, yesterday I was on my way to work listening to Christmas music on the radio. And they announced so-and-so gave this lady's name. You've won Christmas cash. If you'll call the radio station in the next hour, and it gave the city she was from. He said, if you'll call the next hour or whatever, you'll get your Christmas cash. And so I thought, oh, man, that's cool. And so I'm driving to work, and I thought, wouldn't that be terrible if she wasn't listening to the radio? And I thought, man, what would I want if I wasn't listening to the radio? So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look this lady up on Facebook. They said what city she was in, had a unique name. I looked it up. There she was on Facebook in this certain city here in Texas. I got her name. I said, hey, I was just listening to the radio station, told the radio station, you just won some Christmas cash. They announced your name. I said, call them now. Yeah, I thought, hey, that's what I would want, right? Wouldn't you want that? Somebody to contact you? And so she replies and says, whatever, I don't know you, blocked. I was like, no, this is real. I had even said, no joke. You really? I said, you won, but she blocked me out. She said, whatever, I don't know you, blocked. That's the world we live in today. I'm telling you, I've got the good news. But people block you. They don't believe you. They say, whatever. Jesus saves. Blocked. I'm telling you. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. He's not lying. I'm the truth and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except by me. And yet people say, whatever, I don't know you, blocked. It's one of the most frustrating things about ministry, seriously, that you can't get people to believe what you're telling them, or you can't make them do what you know will help them, or you've got something you know will bless people. It is the number one frustration for me in ministry, is dealing with people that won't believe you. But the Jesus way, when you're walking in the Jesus way and you're doing for others what you'd have them do unto you, we've got to remember to believe and to receive. or doubt and do without. You can choose not to believe what I'm telling you tonight. But there are things that you can obtain in the way. When you're in the way of Jesus, there are things to be obtained that are yours, paid for. Call now. Things like life and favor. Praise God for life and favor. It's yours. Obtain it. You have favor from the Lord. Joy and gladness. Praise God. You got joy in your life. I'm talking tidings of joy. Amen. And gladness, light and peace. You can have peace in your life where you just walk in peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That's the Jesus way. It's joy, gladness, life, peace, favor. All these things are in the way of the Lord. Just call now and obtain it. Grace has made it available, but you've got to grab a hold of it by faith. Amen? Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whosoever findeth me finds life." This is the Lord talking. "And shall obtain favor of the Lord." Proverbs 8:35. If you find him, you find life and you find favor with God. And that's my number one priority, is favor with God. Amen? Isaiah 35:10. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." No more sighing or sorrow. You ever have one of those days? You just come home and you're just sorrowful or sighing? Man, it's one of those days. That should be gone from you. Joy and gladness are on your head. Amen? Luke 1:78. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. And yes, there are 78 verses in chapter 1. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." This is the good news of Christmas. I love this. It's the Christmas spirit. "To give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." In the way of peace. So when you're walking the Jesus way, you're walking in a way of peace. Not a way of strife and bitterness. Not a way of turmoil and worry and anxiety. But a way of peace. It's the Jesus way. So we know there are things you can obtain in the way. But then Jesus will also train you in the way. So remember, obtain and train. He'll train you in the way. It's a race and it's a fight. You got to train for this race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. If you're taking notes, write that down. "Know ye not that they which run in a race," everybody runs, they all run, "but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain." Run that you may obtain. And so, yeah, everybody runs. There's a lot of people that run in life, but only one can win that prize. Are you one of those that's running to win? Or are you just aimlessly running? You know, where are you going? I don't know, but I'm just running. What are you going to win? I don't know. I probably won't win anything, but I'm just running. You don't run aimlessly, okay? You have a goal. You have a purpose. You have a focus. "Run so that you can obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery," in verse 25, "is temperate in all things." They watch their weight. They watch their diet. They watch everything they do. They watch their time. They're temperate in all things because they realize, if you ever seen professional athletes, they are careful what they put in their body. Same way with like professional Olympians, very careful about what they put in their body. I heard Zig Ziglar talk about, what would you feed a $1 million racehorse? You're worth more than a $1 million racehorse, right? And yet you're throwing hamburgers and french fries in all the time and junk and garbage, okay? That's not good. We should be temperate in all things, in everything. And it says, those kind of people that are running to win, They are temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. We have an even higher purpose for us being healthy and strong and being careful and temperate in what we do. Okay? We don't go out partying all night and then drag into work in the morning. You can't be a success that way. You got to consider these things. I like the Beck's American translation. It says, anybody who enters a contest goes into strict training. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly or aimlessly, so fight I, not as one that just beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing, but we live so aimless sometimes. We're consumers and we're not producers. I see this mostly. I preach this to the young people all the time. Don't just be consumers, but be producers. Don't just feed everything that the world gives you. You're not part of the rat race. You realize rats just eat whatever is there, you know? They're not, there's no filter. They don't care if it's food, it's edible, they just eat it. And so many people are the same way, and I'm sorry to say, many of the body of Christ is the same way. Just feed whatever the world puts on the plate. No filter. No, you know what? I'm a champion. I'm going to act like a champion. Champions don't feed on this stuff. I'm not going to feed on this garbage. I'm not going to feed on as the stomach turns. The young and the restless, they're not young or restless anymore. No, they are restless, but anyway. I'm not going to watch the junk of the world. And you know, it's strange. The reason why you get the same results that the world gets is you're feeding off the same stuff that the world feeds off. You know, I mean, you're dancing with the stars just like they are. And you wonder, why do I get the same things that the world gets? You're eating the same things. There needs to be a filter. And there's a purpose. That's the point I'm trying to get, is that you have a life of purpose. God has something great for you. Something awesome. Now, when I was about 16 years old, I went to run this corporate cup run. It was a 6.2 10K race in Omaha, Nebraska. My brother invited me to go, and he had a friend of his, and they were both older, my older brother and his friend. And, man, they were just in great shape, and I was just kind of a little skinny kid. And I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, if you think I'm skinny now, you should have seen me back then. I mean, seriously, I had to jump around in the shower to get wet. I said, okay, yeah, I'll go run this race, you know, 10K, 6.2 miles. Sure, yeah, I didn't train, nothing for it. I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'll run 6.2 miles. And so I get out there, and man, first thing, there's about 6,000 other people all right there, and we're all bunched in together, and I'm trying to keep up with my brother and his friend, and instantly my side just starts hurting like terribly. And I thought, oh man, something's going to explode. I'm going to blow a gasket or something. I'm trying to run and trying to run, and I lose my brother and his friend in the crowd, and they were getting ahead, and I was, and my goal was just not to stop. I thought, if I can just keep running and not stop, I'll make this finish line. And man, my legs after a while were just like rubber bands. I mean, I was just walking like on spaghetti noodles, you know. I was just about to give up, and there was some guy had a hatchback right there near the finish line. He pops open the hatchback, and he's got this big speaker right there. I mean, it's huge right there in his hatchback, and he's going, boom, 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 boom. He's like, come on, man, you can do it. You can do it, man. You can do it. And I'm like, this guy cares about me. I was like, I can do it. I can. I've never had anyone encourage me so much in my life as this guy. And so, I mean, I picked it up the pace a little bit more, and I could see the finish line down there, and I said, you know what, I am going to finish. I'm going to make it and find my brother there at the finish line. I got there and sat down, and I couldn't find him anywhere. About 10 minutes later, here come my brother. I had passed him in the crowd and didn't even know it. I'll tell you, it's the only time I ever beat my brother in my life. I'm still proud of that this day. And wherever the gospel is preached, I tell that story. But I had a purpose. I had to find my brother. I've got a reason to run this thing. I've got to find him. I'm lost. I need to get there. And you got to realize, don't run aimlessly, but run with a purpose, with a passion. I've got a reason to get where I'm going. I've got a race to finish. And if you don't know what that race is, then just start training your body, training your ear to hear what the Lord would say to you. Train yourself to hear God's voice. Read, what does God expect of you as a believer? What are the rules here? How do I need to run? I need to run lawfully. Run the race with patience, and you'll inherit the promises. So now Paul says in verse 27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, this is something Paul was concerned about. I watch my body. I keep it under control. I keep it under subjection because I don't want to be a castaway. He realized his need and his desire to control his flesh. And this is something every one of us has to have, because every one of us has a flesh. Right? We all have a body. And I'll tell you what, my flesh wants the same things your flesh wants. And your flesh wants the same thing that every other flesh wants. It's all the same. And it may be different things that you have propensities or desires for, but everybody's got it, and everybody has to put it down. And I know there are some people, they live by Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they say, praise God, there's no condemnation. I can live however I want to, do whatever I want to. There's no condemnation. But you know, it doesn't say there's no consequences to your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like if I punch somebody in the face, I can say, no condemnation. He can say, but there are consequences. I'm going to punch you back in the face. You know, I can speed or whatever and say, no condemnation. And the police say, that's fine, but there will be consequences. There will be a ticket. There are consequences to our actions. And you can live life however you want and say, well, there's no condemnation. And yeah, you'll go to heaven, but you'll live on hell on earth on your way to heaven. And God doesn't mean for that to happen. And God doesn't want that to happen for you. He says, I want you to have heaven on earth. But this is something that really helped me, and I got a revelation on this, and it has blessed me ever since then. And that is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. This scripture really set me free, and it showed me the end from the beginning. Proverbs 27, verse 20. It says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes of the flesh is never satisfied. You say, well, how does that help you? What does that tell you? It tells you, listen, if you live after the flesh, you will never live a satisfied life. You will always be chasing for something more and never obtaining it. So why even go that direction? See, if the devil comes to me and tries to tempt me, let's say if he tries to come tempt me with alcohol, says, hey, drink this. You don't know what you're missing. Just drink a little bit and it'll be fine. There's no condemnation. Yeah, but there is DUIs. And I say, you know what? Yeah, I know there's no condemnation, but if I drink this little drink, will it satisfy me, or will I want more? And then will I want more? And then will I want more until eventually it overcomes and overtakes me and ruins my life? Same with drugs. Same with women or whatever. And they're like, and the world's like, oh, you can just flirt a little bit with this woman. It's no problem. Just flirt a little bit. It'll satisfy you. I know the end from the beginning. No, it won't satisfy, because the eyes of man are never satisfied. That ends in destruction. I see the dead end down there. I'm not going that way. It's a bottomless pit. I'm not falling for that. And the world shows you these commercials of people having fun. Man, this is great. You'll be satisfied. I told this lady the other day, as she was offering me some alcohol at a restaurant, I said, no, ma'am, I don't drink. And she said, oh, you don't know what you're missing. And I said, yes, I do. I know exactly what I'm missing. Praise God. I'm missing alcoholism. I'm missing divorce. I'm missing jail time. There's a lot of things that I'm missing. Praise God. And it's awesome. Hallelujah. I know the eyes of man are never satisfied. Here's an example of that. We see this in Hollywood all the time. You know how Hollywood has gotten more and more progressively evil, right? It's called the law of diminishing return. In that what you do that is evil to a certain degree, that you get that satisfaction from, the next time will take more evil for you to receive that same amount of satisfaction. Just like if you take a drink and you get a buzz and you say, ooh, that was nice, you do that enough, that same drink won't give you that buzz anymore. You need more to get you that same level, right? Well, we've seen this in Hollywood, how they've gotten progressively eviler and eviler, as if that's a word. More evil. And what we see is they're now producing more R-rated movies than any other rating of movie. They do double the amount of R-rated movies of any other rating. And did you know that R-rated movies produce less income than the other than PG-13 or any of those others? You think, why would they do that? Why would they put out twice as many R-rated movies of any other when they make half as much money off of them? You know why? Because they are so evil, they've gotten to a point where rated PG-13 doesn't excite them anymore. They want to be real, is what they say. I've got to be real. And so for them, they have reached a point to where it's got to be full of sex and violence and blood and cussing, and the language has to be terrible for them to go, that's a good movie. Because they're so desensitized to the evil. It's the law of diminishing return. And they don't even care about the money anymore. It's about the evilness in their hearts. And so we have to be careful we don't get caught in that same trap to where as we're watching this, well, then I'll watch that, and then I'll watch this. And next thing you know, we're in the same mess that the world is in. It doesn't make any sense. But people are looking for a more excellent way. They are. I believe that. People are looking for an excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12:31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. We're going to start wrapping it up here. Says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes into the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and he says, let me show you a more excellent way. It's the Jesus way. It's the love way. And it talks about what all love is in 1 Corinthians 13. And thank God, I'm so thankful to have lived in a family where I was taught this stuff as a kid. If I've had a fight with my brother, my mom sat us both down and made us read 1 Corinthians 13 to each other out loud. Talk about humiliating and tough to your flesh. Yeah, hey, that'll kill your flesh real quick. And then if that didn't work, she would spank our flesh too, see? It's important. And I'm telling you, if you will spank the flesh with a paddle, you won't have to worry about the guns and the bullets and all those things. Have you noticed that? They're talking about wanting to arm teachers and things like this because the violence is so bad in school. Well, we need to arm teachers. You know what? You just need to arm them with a paddle. That's what they need. Amen. Need to be able to correct a child. The rod of correction will drive foolishness from a child. That's what I had. So we see that Jesus, the Jesus way you obtain things, the Jesus way trains you. You're trained, but Jesus will retain you in the way. He'll hold you and keep you in the way. This is the awesome thing about Jesus. Isaiah 30:21. This is the scripture for that. Isaiah 30:21. It says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you would turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. You'll hear a voice, you'll hear something on the inside of you saying, this is the way, walk in it, don't do that, don't go there. And I'm telling you, there's never been a time in my life when I started to get off track that I didn't hear the Holy Ghost somehow telling me, don't go that way, don't do that, nope, you do this. The little things. We were at Taco Bell the other night, and we ordered waters for the kids, and the kids went and got Dr. Pepper. And I'm looking at the Dr. Pepper, and I know we paid for waters, which is free. And the Lord's saying, that's stealing. I'm like, well, they did it. I didn't tell them to, but they're your kids. They're drinking it, aren't they? They paid for water, and they're drinking Dr. Pepper. I said, well, hang on, let me go pay for it. So I went up there and said, hey, I'm sorry, we ordered waters. My kids are getting Dr. Peppers. Here's the money. And the guy goes, don't worry about it. It's okay. I said, praise God then. All right. If the guy at the counter says we can have it free, then we can have it free. But at least I did the Jesus way and said, hey, let's go ahead and pay for it. This is the Jesus way. You know, I'm not going to steal Dr. Pepper. You think my testimony is worth a cup of Dr. Pepper? Come on. Praise God, that's the Jesus way. And I appreciate how God has kept me all these years, and it's the grace of God, and I'm thankful for that. I was with Isaiah Robertson one time. It's good to have House of Isaiah guys here. Thank you guys for coming tonight. We appreciate you. And we know God is at work in you. And God's not, he's not done. And good things are yet to come. And don't worry, this Jesus way will still work. But Isaiah, we were at a men's breakfast one time. And he came up and we were talking about something I had mentioned. You know, I never did alcohol. I never drank any alcohol. He said, you never drank a drop of alcohol? I said, no. I said, I've never smoked a cigarette either. What? You've never smoked a cigarette? I said, no, I never smoked a cigarette. I said, I've only had sex with one woman. That's my wife. After we were married, right there. He was like, what? He said, you mean you never rebelled against God? I said, no, God just kept me, you know. And he grabbed my name tag off my chest and he put it on his chest. He said, come here, come here. And he brings me over to the guys, the House of Isaiah guys that were there too. And he goes, tell them about what you're saying here. He said, guys, I'm telling you, it is possible. Now, let me tell you the scripture that really helped to keep me. Something that helped to keep me. And praise God, you know, these days a lot of people have testimonies of, you know, I was drunk and I did drugs and I did these things. And that's wonderful too. But how many people have the testimony of God's keeping power? That God can keep you from those things. And I'm telling you, you say, well, is that possible? It is possible. With God, all things are possible. But listen here. Hang on a second. I'm going to read this to you. Jude, it's a small book, but Jude chapter 1, verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. And I'm telling you, as a teenager, there were so many times I was so scared of falling. I was afraid of blowing it. I just thought, God, I don't know if I can live this life. I don't know if I can say no to temptation. I don't know if I can say no to all these things that are in the world that are coming at me constantly. And you know what? Pastor Bob Nichols was preaching this scripture one day when I was about 16 years old, and I grabbed a hold of it. It helped me. It helped keep me. Now to him who is able, I said, God, I know you're able to keep me from falling. Have I been perfect? No. And am I any better than anyone else here tonight? No. We're all in the same boat. We've all sinned and fallen so far short of the glory of God. I don't say that bragging or anything on myself except just the grace of God, and that you are able, God can keep you from sin, and that you are free from sin. Praise God. And if we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So whenever I drink the Dr. Pepper and don't pay for it, I'm still covered. Praise God. There's no condemnation. But I can make it right. I can make restitution. Again, I'm not a perfect person. My wife can tell you that. She thinks I am, though, so don't tell her. You know, she really does. She tells everybody all the good stuff about me. But how does Jesus retain us? The Bible says, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I love Psalms chapter 1. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Blessed is the man. You want to be blessed? Then don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I remember this girl one time. I worked at the Olive Garden restaurant. And people used to tell me all kinds of things of why I was going to fall someday and why I hadn't fallen yet. And some people said, well, you only haven't fallen because you haven't been exposed to temptation yet. Well, I was there at the Olive Garden working, and if you know in the restaurant business, there's plenty of temptation in the restaurant business. And so here I was, 17 years old in the restaurant business. This girl comes to me, and she's all talking to me, and she says, hey, we're all going to this club detour later on if you want to come with us. And I said, well, let me tell you something. Her name was Mary. I said, let me tell you something, Mary. If you want to stay on the straight and narrow path, you don't take detours. And this club was called Detours. I said, I'm not going to take a detour. I want to stay on the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Walk this way. You know, the world, they make it pretty obvious, really. It's hard to be tricked into sin these days. You know, there's a place down the road, you'll see it. It's called Temptations. And you're like, I ain't even looking over that way, man. I ain't looking at Temptations. No way. Yeah. And then there's another one close to our house. We drive by it all the time on our way to school. You know, I'm taking my kids. It's this club called Sidetracked. And I tell my kids, now, kids, See that right there? That's sidetracked. You don't want to get sidetracked. Don't ever even look over there. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing for you there. You want to stay on the straight and narrow path, the way that God has for you. I don't want to take no detours, no sidetrack, no temptation. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but my delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law do I meditate day and night. And then I'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. All I'm doing is soaking up the Word of God. All I'm doing is soaking up the life of God, the glory of God. And so that's the fruit because of my roots. My roots are planted. My fruits produce good fruit. Amen? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm going to prosper because of the Word of God. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way. He makes sure the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You don't want to perish. You want to live, so get planted. That's why House of Isaiah is so important to be planted. The Bible says those that be planted in the courts of their God, they'll flourish. They'll flourish when you get planted and say, you know what, I'm not moving my roots. And we've got all these roots out of us. We're like trees. We're planted. And we've got these shallow roots that are feeder roots. And then we've got the tap root. But Jesus, the Jesus way is the tap root. That's that root that goes down deep and gets the water of life. And we drink of it freely. We're not into all these feeder roots that are shallow. If that's all you've got, you don't have any depth in your soul. Praise God. Jesus, in the Jesus way, you obtain things. You may have to train your body, your flesh. But then there are things that He will sustain and He will keep in you. And you don't have to worry about falling or failing God. And you can say, God, I put my trust in you. God, my hope is in you. I tell you what, this Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this Bible. But if you'll stay in the Word of God, He will keep you. I know He's able. And I tell Him and remind Him many times, God, I know You're able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless and blameless. I know You're able to keep me, God. Lord, please keep me. And see, your job is just to want to be kept. And just say, Lord, keep me. God, I want to be kept. Even if my flesh doesn't. You know, it helps too to realize you are not your flesh. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Just like I'm not my car. You know, it's just a vehicle. I'm not my car. And so if my car has issues and troubles, praise God, I don't live after my car. I don't live after this flesh. I don't care what this flesh wants. It doesn't get everything it wants. But my spirit man on the inside overrides my flesh. And even if this flesh dominates for even a moment, or this flesh gets its way, my spirit on the inside always rises up. And I live from the inside out, and it always says, flesh, get down. And then I get around people that if I don't tell my flesh to get down from my heart, somebody else will tell me, hey, your flesh needs to get down. People like Pastor Bob Nichols, Paul Cruz, whoever else can speak into my life, Robert White, anyone has an opportunity. Any person here has the opportunity. If you see something in my flesh, I give you the right to say, hey, you know what? I just noticed this, and love, I'm just telling you, I think you ought to change this. And I'll listen, and I'll say, okay, if this is something my flesh is wrong, I'll give you the right and the opportunity to say, to help me. Because I realize you love me. You wouldn't tell that to somebody you didn't love. Somebody that you didn't care about. I wouldn't call you and say, hey, you won Christmas cash. Let's call now just to be mean. Just believe it and receive it. and say, hey, I received that, man. Thank you. I apologize. If I was rude, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get offended by that, but I know it's going to help me if I realize I was rude or something, or there was something I could do better, or something maybe I'm getting out of control about. Now, you got to be careful doing that because some people won't receive it. And then you're casting your pearls before swine, and the Bible says they'll turn and rend you. I've had that happen. I've had to learn I don't correct everyone. I don't correct everyone's flesh. It's hard sometimes as a youth minister because you're over there telling kids how they ought to be, and then when you come over and tell adults how they ought to be, they're like, uh-uh, no, you didn't. That's why Jesus said, you got to come as a little child. Amen. Teachable, faithful, and realize you are not your flesh. I'm not what my flesh desires. Inside, I desire the things of God. Inside, the new man on the inside wants the glory of God, wants the blessing of God, wants to love everybody. And so I'm going to train my flesh to live after the Spirit. And as I do that, I'm going to just be walking blessing everywhere I go. It's going to manifest something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. There's something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. You go to work like this. And people say, what are you on? Hey, I've been accused of that. And I say, I'm on Jesus. Woo! Let me tell you something. Tell him, I got Jesus. And I'll tell you what, he's better than any drug, any drink, anything that the devil may have. And I'm going to stay in the way. I'm going to walk in his ways. Lord, I thank you, God. Let's just pray. Lord, I pray for every person here tonight, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that regardless of what the past has been, that they can walk in the way of Jesus Christ, that you do cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You do wash us and cleanse us. Lord, that you see us under the blood of Jesus. There's no condemnation, but today and your future is as bright as the promises of God. God is able to keep every person here. And Lord, I pray that you would keep them, God. I pray like Jesus prayed for Peter, that their faith would fail not. Lord, help them to stay planted and not uproot and get out of where they should be. Lord, I just pray that they not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But Lord, I pray that they will obtain the things that God has for them. God, that you would sustain them, Lord, in the way, and that you'll train them to walk in your ways, God. Lord, we thank you, God, for your way. It is the best way. Lord, I pray, help us to think, Lord, this week and the rest of our lives, what would I want done for me? How would I feel if I was that person? What would I want done? If I made a big mistake and blew it, how would I want people to respond, or how would I want them to act? Would I want them to forgive me? Well, then I'm going to forgive them. If I had done that, how would I want someone to respond to me? Lord, help me to respond that way. Lord, we just thank you, God, that this will become our lifestyle with us. Not just something we do on Sundays, on Wednesday nights when we come to church and we've got our halos on and we're all smiling, but every day at home, who you are at home is who you really are. Lord, help us to walk in love at home and to be the same there as we are here, to love the unlovable. God, we just thank you, Lord, that to as many as received you, Lord, you gave them the power to become the children of God. And God, I pray that lady gets her Christmas cash somehow. I don't know how, Lord, but I pray you keep trying to give her that Christmas cash. Because that's what I would want someone to pray for me if I was that dumb. Somebody's praying for you tonight. Somebody loves you tonight. Go out and show the love of Jesus just like you want.